your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team. It's every day. I'm Adam Armbrecht. I don't need Doug Norrie. You can listen to me covering New York Football Giants on the One Giant podcast, still doing some work over on Sportscaster as well, but we'll be shifting gears eventually. Today, it's another great episode of the officially titled. We had to massage this one around until we came to it, but it's on point with Matt Brooks in the house again, man. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, you know the I'm the captain meme now? I'm the co-host now. That's what I'm coming in right there. That's what I'm coming in with.
Wow.
By the way, the new co-host.
Doug Norrie, you've just been put on notice. Yeah. Yeah, listen, it only takes. You take one day off. This is the way the business works. You take a day off, something is going to suffer. In this instance, it was your entire job.
This is what happened to DeAndre Jordan. You know, he had one bad game, and man, he's not even the starter by the next day. So,
yeah, no. Goodness. And by the way, because as we do come into this, that's where we're going to start. This was a long, strange week for the Nets. I mean, it was long and strange for the NBA in general. Obviously, there's the postponement of the game. That pushes things back a little bit. I think national narratives had a field day with the Nets not playing their starters against the 76ers. We didn't touch it because it doesn't matter. But let's go with the big news of late, and that's LaMarcus Aldridge retiring. You can go into how you felt about him as a player if you want to, but it's an abrupt retirement, health scare for him, and now the Nets are back where they were prior to the buyout market and what their plan is at the five. Well, let's just start with Aldridge. What were your thoughts when you hear the initial retirement?
Just happy for him. You know, family, friends, and just the assurance that you're doing the right thing for your health and all of those things is really important. And I think it takes a lot of strength to do that. Like, it's very easy to say, oh, well, he got a couple of things from doctors and they told him not to play and he didn't play. And it's like, yeah, you could say that, but there's also the situation where he could have not mentioned that he was having issues with his heart. He could have pushed through because he wants to go win a championship. I think that deserves, you know, as much respect for what he's done on the court, if not more, because that's not an easy thing to do. It just isn't. I mean, unfortunately, we've seen the other side of that. There have been players that have literally collapsed on the court because they try to push through something. They ignore, you know, they ignore their bodies. And, you know, at the end of the day, you are kind of, as much as we've advanced with medicine, there is a certain level of like personal accountability with that stuff. So I think it's great. As far as his career, I mean, he's had a really interesting one. He, you know, the years on Portland were, I mean, he was just a great player. He ends up being like the top free agent in the 2015 free agency period. I remember it was like, you know, you saw the Spurs get him and everybody's like, oh my God, the Spurs never get free agents. And, you know, it's just kind of, it's a shame we didn't get to see this last period of his career. I was really excited for him. It seemed like a really good simplified role, and he just seemed really happy. I mean, I always think about when these guys come in day one versus after you talk to them after three games, completely different. Right. Same thing with Blake Griffin. They come in, they're, you know, a little grouchy. They've seen all these things on Twitter. Everybody's calling LaMarcus Aldridge wash. They're saying, oh, we can't defend anymore. So he comes into this, you know, his intro presser. He's just a little grouchy. And then three games in, you can just like sort of see the revitalization of not just his like career, but like him as a person. He just, I don't know. He seemed really fulfilled. And I think I would hope he continues to feel that way about the decision that he made this week. Because that means a lot. Like you are at the biggest point in your career to come away with a championship, and you chose family and your kids, and like that's awesome.
Yeah, and we said that yesterday, that 35, so you know, same age as me. So the idea of, and I'll just footnote it here because we talked about it at length on yesterday's episode, that idea of, you know, retiring, right? But these guys are not even in middle age yet when they leave the profession that they've played for so many years. So I think if that happened to me, I would have a very big step back moment from whatever I was doing to be like, okay, what does this look like? You know, what adjustments do I need to make? Thankfully, I'm not an athlete, as it turns out. It didn't work. I didn't go that route. I thought about it. I had a lot of flyers, a lot of offers, and I chose to go away from it. Specifically then for the Nets, though, he came in, LaMarcus Aldridge, and immediately got the most minutes that any individual player had received at the five. Does this, you know, DJ comes right back into the fold once LaMarcus is out? What does it look like for the Nets now? Do they lean even heavier into that small ball kind of lineup? Do they all of a sudden, you know, go back to DJ and say, hey, I don't know, we know what we talked about. Maybe you're not going to come off the bench for several games, but you're right back where you were, whatever it was, 2 weeks ago, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote about this yesterday, and the big thing I kind of, well, it had to be yesterday considering that's when the news came out. The big thing I like kind of was coming away with was that they can play with size, they can play with shooting, they can't really do both anymore. You can play Jeff Green or Blake Griffin at the five, you're not going to have much rim protection. You can play Claxton or DeAndre, and yeah, you're going to have loads of rim protection, especially with Claxton on the court. Problem is that one of those guys offers very little on offense, and the other guy offers a good ability to roll. DeAndre Jordan, I'm talking about right now. He sets good screens. He knows where to be generally, but it also doesn't really add anything to the offense. You have to almost play 3 to 4 shooters with him at all times. So that's the predicament they're in. They need to figure out a way to navigate that. And I mean, look, like, I don't think every matchup was going to be for LaMarcus, but even if you were in a matchup where it was like, man, the drop coverage isn't working great, but at least he's spacing the floor on the other end. Like, at least he's, you know, getting the ball on the post, and we're creating something out of that with those double teams. They don't really have that anymore. If it's a bad matchup for DeAndre, I'm sorry, the offense just isn't going to outweigh how not good of a matchup it is. So they're going to have to game plan for matchups more. I wouldn't be surprised if this trend where starting lineups seem to change with every game continues into the playoffs. You know, that's something I would be interested in.
Is there any world where, because now when they officially signed Johnson to a multi-year contract, Alize Johnson, that solidified the roster? Now LaMarcus is gone, so technically there's another roster spot. Any world where they utilize this for another big? There's not a lot of names out there, obviously, at this point. Or at the very least, and we can not worry about it if it ends up being maybe it's another guard, maybe it's another, you know, wing defender, right? But they have a roster spot there. What's the likelihood that they look at another 4 or 5 players specifically?
Yeah, I mean, I think you kind of hit it on the head there with that. I just don't know who's out there. Like, are you going to bring in Tyler Zeller and that's going to be your option?
Maybe.
Are you going to bring in Thon Maker? Yeah. Like, is that a name that you feel good about? I don't. I'd really
call back Fareed from overseas.
Like, it's just not that attractive. And at the end of the day, you might as well just go totally small. Like, if you're in a position where it's like, well, I don't really believe in any of these guys, fine, throw Jeff Green in there. Like, whatever. So what? You can't defend at the rim. That's fine. You'll outscore the other team. You just, you know, lean into what you are at that point. So, you know, I mean, I think that's the best option. I mean, the big thing, if they're going to replace anybody, is the guard help right now, just in the short term. You know, you can bring in a veteran. You can bring in an Isaiah Thomas, a Jamal Crawford. Those guys, I think, can carry the weight on offense, and that makes perfect sense to me. You can bring in a younger guy. I've seen people bring up Jeremiah Martin. Sure, why not? That's what I would do right now, because the biggest fear I have right now, I wouldn't want to wear down Kyrie Irving. I just wouldn't. And by the way, credit to Landry Shamet. He has done a pretty credible job relative to where we were early in the season with him handling the ball and creating. It's not perfect, but it's been better. And I think that's the spot I would look at.
And that'll lean into what we're getting to here in a second, which is the health of this team and maybe the concerns you have around a Kyrie Irving down the stretch of the season. Before we do, got to tell everybody, of course, about that delicious bar that was so good they had an entire March Madness bracket challenge around it. And it's our friends over at BuiltBar.com. The madness may be over, but doesn't mean you still can't get all those delicious flavors, the originals like coconut almond, raspberry, German chocolate. I bet my boy Matt Brooks is a bit of a mint brownie guy. That's just my instincts. I don't want to say for sure. Yeah, see, there you go. heard the noise. That means if I get him a bar, he's probably going to wolf that thing down while he's scrambling across the multitude of schedules that he has to manage on a weekly basis. Plus the new flavors like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake. And when you've got a product, by the way, if you're gluten-free like me, several bars available for you, taste good, great texture, and a flavor like peanut butter, which comes with only 180 calories, 19 grams of protein packed with it, just 5 grams of sugar and 5 grams of net carbs. You can get a free cooler with purchase while those supplies last. And go over to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. And of course, the friendly reminder that you can get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you with the latest news in all major sports with the help of our credentialed local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast needs fulfilled. So I said that the next thing I was curious about to talk with you was health. And it really does. It feathers from saying, well, Kyrie Irving, he's a guy that I sort of got excited to say, well, maybe he'll get to carry the team a little bit and put his stamp back on what was his team before KD signed. And then certainly after Harden signed, everything really changed. But he's the one with the biggest level of health risk, I think. And then you also have Kevin Durant ramping back up here into form. Right. So Kevin Durant wrapping up into form. Harden still on the injured list. You can even throw in guys like Tyler Johnson, who had carved out a nice role for himself. I mean, listen, Chioza was getting out on the floor because of how diminished they were at the guard position. How concerned are you around the health of this team as we only have, 16, 17 games left to go here before the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got to hope it's working out like it's working for the Lakers, where it looks like they're getting Anthony Davis back. I bet you LeBron follows maybe a week after. I don't know, though. I mean, ankle sprains are not easy to deal with, especially those high ankle sprains. For the Nets, we haven't really heard about Harden's reevaluation yet. That's something we will hear probably by the time this is out. Maybe not, though. So I can't comment on that just yet. I will say, though, like, the big thing that's been the biggest miracle of this year, knock on wood, is that Kyrie Irving has stayed healthy basically the entire year. And that was not something I expected. If you had said, okay, Matt, there are these three players, James Harden, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, rank them in order of who you think is going to be injured the most, the longest, whatever, I would have gone Kyrie, KD, and Harden. We'll see how long Harden's injury is. There's a chance that order is flipped. I know KD missed 2 months. I don't know how long the Harden thing is. So maybe he would be the longest. But regardless, it's a really interesting thing that's happened. They can survive round one. If let's say Harden goes into that series, and this is the absolute worst case situation, so do not take this as I think Harden is out for the playoffs. I don't know.
You heard it here first.
I'm not.
James Harden never plays basketball again. Matt Brooks.
I'm not, you know, like I'm not in the, I'm not even, I'm on Zoom. Like I'm not going to learn this stuff. So I'm not even in the arena to be near any of this to get an idea. So, I mean, so yeah. So basically like, look, I think they have enough. If let's say Harden comes back first round series, I think they have enough to win that. I think there's a good chance he comes back before that. The big thing for them will be getting a Tyler Johnson back, which I don't know what we can count on. I'm not even sure if that matters, if he's in the playoff rotation. I actually think there is a world where the next couple of weeks, they have enough right now where it's like, you know, the different, you know, you at least have some core pieces that I think you're sort of working in. I think this could be a time of growth where you really solidify exactly what you want to do. You kind of know how it's going to look with Harden in there. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of, okay, is Bruce Brown an integral part of what we're doing? Is he a guy that we're going to deploy with certain matchups, with certain lineups? Let's say we play the Boston Celtics in round two, let's or something. Is that a matchup we feel better about putting him in, but maybe not against the Sixers? Is he a small ball guy? I think those are the things that they can clarify over the next couple of weeks.
And I thought, too, you mentioned Bruce Brown, and you said there in the first segment, Landry Shamet as well. So I think Bruce Brown should become the guy that you deploy at guard in the right situations of the game to say, hey, go really agitate. That's what we want you to be, right? I mean, for the lack of better term, and it's not a one-to-one comp, but be our Marcus Smart defensively, right? Be a problem, be a pest for one of the guards there. And then obviously we know that he can contribute from a rebounding standpoint, etc. But the Shamet piece of it, listen, for whatever he is, he's shown me in the last couple of games here that his on-ball skills are, there's maybe a little bit more there than we thought. And the fact that he does have that is somewhat crucial, because with Harden, it's Harden, Kyrie, and then that's it. So his ability, when you looked there, especially at the end of the Philly game when there was no Kyrie as well, and it was, well, who's our ball handler? Shamet did it, and he didn't do it like Bruce Brown does it. And it's not a knock on Bruce, where you're like, okay, Bruce, feeling your way through the front court there, pulling back to the perimeter, trying to kick, trying to get someone else going. Shamet looks like it took a while. We all held our, I think, collective breath around him early in the season. He seems like, despite these couple little injury tweaks, has really hit his stride now for this team, and I think may end up being one of the more crucial components when it comes to the playoffs for them.
Yeah, he's moved up from like a ninth to a seventh man in like 2 weeks. Like I sort of had him in the Tyler Johnson, Bruce Brown class, and I think he's well above that now in terms of guys that I feel really good about. Two things make him special. A, this is not necessary. I'm not the first person to have this take. I've actually been said multiple times before. It's probably been said when they first brought him to Brooklyn. He can shoot off a little more motion, and I don't mean like, you know, well, what type of screens he's going around. No, like literally when his body is in rotation and he's sort of catching the ball and rotating to the basket, he just can do that even better than Joe Harris, I would say. Like he just has that J.J. Redick-ish, I don't need to fully be balanced, but I can get my shot off, my mechanics are there. Like there's something to that, and I think that's an element that is going to be really important, because teams are going to try to snuff Joe Harris out. As great as Joe's become, he's even added little step backs to his game. He's gotten better with taking guys off the dribble if they close out to him hard. Quick release. He doesn't quite have that wiggle. He doesn't quite have that sense of, I don't need to be fully in balance. No, he wants his shots, like he needs to be fully set. And that's just kind of who he is as a shooter, which is fine. Landry Shamet offers something a little bit different. We've seen what he can do with the ball in his hands. He's hitting little crossovers. He's getting to the rim. What I want to see is him take those two things that he's doing right now, put them together. So it's not a situation of you get the ball, hold on to it, then you're going to hit your crossovers. You know, parlay that catch it on the go and just take it straight to the rim. I think he's doing better at that. I think that's the next evolution, where it all just sort of melds together, and he's like this really interesting, I don't really even know what player that would be, like just a guy that can shoot like 42% off, you know, off the catch, probably higher actually, but also give you a little bit more in terms of recognizing like right away, I'm gonna get straight to the hoop. I think it's something that he can do. It's clear he can do that.
And it's value to this team, obviously, this season. But something that I know, big picture, that I always like to bring up, though, is remember, he's young, 24 years old. You know, Bruce Brown is a young player. Claxton, like, I always like, I no matter what the aspirations are, you can always find these other players. But I like the fact that you're looking at guys that could be contributors down the road for this team and go from being a ninth man to a seventh man, maybe to a fifth man, right, and continue to be in support of the long-term growth of the team. I know that's the guy that couldn't be any more of a footnote to close it out on. Things are bright for Shamet here as we wind down the remainder of the regular season. Want to get into a Lock It Up segment here with Matt Brooks, but first got to tell you about betonline.ag. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football obviously is about to be almost ramping back up. It feels like it's further away than it is, but the NBA is in full swing. Obviously, we've also got the NHL. MLB is now underway. You can even do things like betting on TV shows or reality drama. I don't know, get into Temptation Island. Maybe that's your bag. Who's getting kicked off or who's flirting with who? That's probably a thing that happens over there. BetOnline has you covered for that as well. Real-time updated odds and props on almost everything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered on all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's totally free to sign up. Head over to the website and use your mobile device if you feel so inclined, and you will receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts, promo code LOCKEDON. And the friendly reminder that you can get more analysis of the top prospects that'll be coming up in this year's NBA draft with the Locked On NBA Draft podcast. Scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and full coverage 4 days a week from our credentialed draft experts. Follow the Locked On NBA Draft podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast needs fulfilled. This now turns us into the Lock It Up segment, a special edition with Matt Brooks. Lock it up, Matt Brooks, that Nicholas Claxton will see more minutes again without LaMarcus Aldridge, because Doug brought this up. We know what his value is. It's on the defensive end, but the offensive end seems to be getting worse. He seems to be further and further out of sorts. We saw that DeAndre Jordan got put right back into the starting role. Are they just going to try to protect and insulate Claxton from being too exposed too early here as a young player?
I'm going to zag. You ready? I'm not sure why we aren't protecting DeAndre Jordan as well. Because the big thing that I have found, and I wrote about this yesterday, was I think that there is a certain level of give or take with DeAndre Jordan's productivity. It seems like there's a sweet spot. You even saw it. That Philly game was a microcosm of the DeAndre Jordan experience. Comes out, looks great. He's pushing Embiid into fadeaway shots. He's just forcing him out of rhythm. Those things are all, like, you know, really, really enticing for the Nets. And like, oh, this is exactly what you want to see. It fades as the game goes on. Mm-hmm. I think there's a certain number of minutes that you need to play DeAndre Jordan for him to be effective. I don't think the stamina is there. I don't know why that's the case, but it just sort of feels like that's what's going on. What that means is you either lean into more of the small ball with Blake Griffin and Jeff Green, which, fine, if you want to do that, great. Ultimately, I do think you need to play Claxton more and let him play through his mistakes, because, let's be honest, in not doing that, you're hurting yourself in DeAndre Jordan's minutes, because that is who is going to be picking up the slack. So, I mean, that's kind of what it comes down to. They are in a position where they almost have to do it.
Well, in pre LaMarcus Aldridge, right, it seemed like they were running these spurts of, okay, here's a swarth to get things going. DeAndre, you know, you're going to be there for lobs off of Harden, et cetera. And then we're going to come in with this run of Claxton, and he's going to be there picking up guards out on the perimeter, running to the basket, and kind of creating these two different ebbs and flows for teams to adjust to. So I wonder if they will lean back into it. And a quick footnote on that, too. Would the best combination of those players be DeAndre Jordan with Jeff Green, Blake Griffin with Claxton, right? That's what computes for keeping some athleticism in Jeff Green with DeAndre Jordan for the defensive purposes. And then you get Blake Griffin, who can balance out some perimeter shooting and kind of have the right combination of defensive, offensive baseline, however high or low these guys are.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that makes perfect sense. The big thing for me that I like about Blake versus Jeff Green, Blake's a willing lob tosser. He's somebody that can make plays in the short roll. When you have somebody, and I think he actually might be a better screen setter than Jeff Green because of that. You can sort of set screens. I'm not going to get too much into the details with it, but you can set different types of screens with Blake Griffin because of his playmaking versus Jeff Green. You kind of know what it's going to be. It's going to be a pick and pop, or he's going to go to the basket and try to dunk on literally everybody. So the nice thing about...
as well he should. Uncle Jeff, go get
some. As well
he
should. Yeah. As well he should, which is fine with DeAndre Jordan, because DeAndre Jordan's going to keep himself busy and set screens maybe away from the paint to clear that out. So my thing with Claxton and Blake, what I like is, A, Claxton is not a willing screener. He's getting better. It's not natural for him. It's going to be probably a season or two for him to really master that. What that means is he's kind of camping out in that dunker spot, like right next to the rim. So if you're using Blake Griffin as the screener, giving him the ball, letting him toss lobs to Claxton, that just fits together a lot better versus Jeff Green trying to storm down into the paint. Claxton's defender rotates over, tries to block the shot. Green is a, what do you want to call him? C-plus passer? I mean, well, B-minus?
Yeah. Generously, yeah.
Generously.
Right, right.
He's not going
to always
make
lower
the right
than higher,
play.
So. Just to be clear.
So, I mean, that's sort of how I look at it. It's just, it makes sense that way. Defense, Claxton, you know, he doesn't give up much anywhere, so you can put him next to anybody. And DeAndre is going to do what DeAndre does, which is really just you know, stand back in the paint and try to block shots. And that's going to be what he does.
It's always fun to just get to a point on the offensive end where you go, oh, right, no, that's not, he's done. And it's not even a knock on him, but there's just weird stretches where you go, oh, yeah, he's holding the ball just inside the arc, and nothing's going to happen until someone comes get this from him. And that's neither here nor there. We'll get you out quickly, though, on this one. Lock it up. What is TLC? I don't even – there's not even really a deeper thing here. The serious question is, why is he still getting minute shares? Even with all the injuries, even with what's been happening, somebody else has to be more worthy of getting time on the court, especially in these games when you feel like, all right, again, give me Reggie Perry. I know it's not a one-to-one swap, but like to your point, at least let somebody have some developmental minutes out there. TLC seems like a guy, and we said this before, he is what he is. Then you bring in all these high talented players, and he's the one guy on the roster who just does not seem to be able to figure out how to play in complement of the stars. And then when you're in these backup minutes, he also does not have any, hey, watch me take over here for a stretch. Watch what I can do. I mean, he threw up three graze the rim-ish kind of triples against Philadelphia in garbage time minutes. It's difficult to watch. I don't want to beat up on the guy, but he seems like the out of place piece here on this roster.
Yeah, I always feel bad for guys like this, and to fans' credit, I understand why it's frustrating, because it's like, I don't know. I mean, I looked it up, and it's like, this guy hasn't hit more than two threes since February 18th. I think that's what the date was.
No big deal.
Is like, it's not good. Like, he's taken 5-6 a game, so you're maybe hoping for 30%. That's a good day, is if he comes away with making 30% of his threes, which is well below average. So yeah, I mean, or 33 really, but who's counting? I don't know. I don't know what the right thing is. You look at like a Ben McLemore and how he looked for the Lakers, and look, Ben McLemore has his flaws, namely he's not a great defensive player. But God, if you could just, like, what's the harm in giving him those TLC minutes? Like, what are you really going to lose on defense that, I mean, TLC is not really providing? I think he has the outlines of being a good defender, much like he has the outlines of doing interesting things on offense. Right. He's a very theoretical player, which is frustrating, I think, for him and for everybody watching. But yeah, I mean, he's just, I'll put it like this. He is the most interesting player I've ever watched.
He's the guy, you're out on the court, you know, in the neighborhood court, everyone's lined up, you're scanning down the line, you go, that guy, I want him. And then they blow the whistle, you get going, you go, what the hell is this?
Well,
you're supposed to be slapping, you know, you're supposed to be doing everything, both ends, come on, buddy. He has all the natural makeup. So, listen, that's what, I know it's a weird one to get out on, but I do think it's the kind of situation where if Spencer Dinwiddie hadn't been hurt, then I think TLC is a guy that probably doesn't make it through the run of this season, whether it's through acquisitions, buyouts, trades, et cetera. I think there would have been flexibility there. It's not the one-for-one positional, but it's just about the value on the roster. I think they would have figured something else out. But that being said, Chioza has survived on this roster, which just from a pure expectations of this season, I didn't think was possible. So in Brooklyn, we trust. They seem to figure things out. Sean Marks seems to know what he's doing, and Steve Nash continues to evolve. As always, we thank Matt Brooks for joining us here on Point with Matt Brooks. You can check out his work, obviously, with Nets Daily. He's on Twitter at Matt Brooks NBA. We'll catch up with you 2 weeks from now on our biweekly On Point with Matt Brooks.
Love it. Thank you for having me.